Dear friends, we gather this day on the traditional and unceded territory of the Algonquin Nation. May we always dwell on this land with respect and peace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have shed upon us the new light of your incarnate word. May this light, enkindled in our hearts, shine forth in our lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Je rappellerai les bienfaits du Seigneur, les louanges célébrant le Seigneur, selon tout ce que le Seigneur a mis en œuvre pour nous. Oui, sa grande bonté pour la maison d'Israël, qu'il a mise en œuvre pour eux selon sa tendresse, prodigue en bienfait. Il avait dit, « Vraiment, ils sont mon peuple, les fils qui ne trompent pas. » Et il fut pour eux un sauveur dans toute leur détresse. Ce n'est pas un délégué ni un messager, c'est lui en personne qui les sauva, dans son amour et dans sa compassion. C'est lui-même qui les rachètera. Il les souleva, il les porta tous les jours d'autrefois. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thank you. A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. Since, therefore, the children share flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared the same things, so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. For it is clear that he did not come to help angels, but the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, he had to become like his brothers and sisters in every respect, so that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make a sacrifice of atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself was tested by what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thank you.
May God be with you.
Also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Now after the shepherds had left, an angel of the Lord appeared, after the Magi had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they were no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, "He will be called a Nazarene." The Gospel of Christ. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Spoken words be faithful to the written word and lead us to the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
I want to begin by trying a small experiment with you. It is Christmas related. I would like everyone to turn your head toward this side wall from wherever you're sitting. See a plaque or a window or a hymn board. Excellent. Just keep looking there. And now I would like in your mind's eye, if you would, to see the three windows over the original high altar in this building. And especially in your mind's eye, I'd like you to see the first window. And I wonder if you would raise your hand if you think you can describe, I'm not going to ask you to do this, but if you think you could describe what is in the first window over the high altar here, just raise your hand. So a few folks, good. So if we put all, everything together, we probably could do that. You can turn back this way now. And if you can, from where you're sitting, you can look at the original window because of course there are three very traditional windows, the first of the birth, the second of the death, the third of the resurrection of our Lord. A couple of weeks ago, as Jamie and I came to the choir concert and I listened to their beautiful music, my gaze kept wandering to the first of those three windows. Not so much on Mary, or Joseph, or the baby, but on the figures in the foreground. Can you see them from where you're sitting? Yeah, you folks might have to wait till communion time or something to see them better. Of course, they are shepherds, and there are some sheep in that foreground if you need a little clue about who they are. Now, from where I was sitting, I couldn't really tell who those figures were. I could see them, but I couldn't really make out who they were. It might have been that I was wearing the wrong glasses at the time, I'm not sure. But I imagined that those people in the foreground were us, like all of us, looking at the birth of Jesus. Maybe today you'll think of yourself during this Christmas season, Christmas tide, you'll think of yourself pondering, being drawn to, experiencing this birth of the Holy One of God. For the shepherds, the ones in the window, this was truly a scene of great joy. Remember how the angels had approached them in the fields as they kept watch over their flocks and told them to go to Bethlehem, and there they would find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. There they would find the Savior of the world, the one who would unite earth and heaven, the one promised from before the beginning of time, the very embodiment of God. Theirs was a lowly occupation. In times past, like in the time of David, King David, it had been a noble occupation, but not so anymore. Shepherds were grouped with the tax collectors, pretty low on the social status ladder. It's an interesting sign, isn't it? The first people to identify Jesus as God's own, as Savior of the world, were humble, everyday, hardworking folk. Not high-ranking officials or religious leaders or city-educated. One of the jobs of those shepherds would have been to inspect newborn lambs. Those that were found to be perfect, without blemish, could be sold to be used as sacrifice. To protect the newborns, those ones that were found without any fault or blemish, the shepherds sometimes laid those newborn lambs in the feeding trough, the manger. I don't know about you, but manger always conjures up this, you know, warm, cuddly, wooden piece of furniture. It was not so. It was probably made of stone. Some were made of wood, but most feeding troughs were made of stone. And the shepherds would place this newborn lamb in the feeding trough to protect it from being injured. They knew when the shepherds found Jesus, where did they find him? In that same feeding trough, in the manger, with his weary parents beside him. The shepherds knew that this humble birth was the fulfillment of so many of God's promises from over their ancient history. Now, not all people looked upon Jesus' birth in this way. Hear today's gospel passage. It's a hard story. Right on the heels of this wonderful birth announcement and story, we read about murderous Herod. Herod the Great, regional king of Judea, which included both Bethlehem and Jerusalem. Great is really an odd adjective when you think of it. He was a great builder of the mountain fortress of Masada in the desert, and he rebuilt and added to the temple in Jerusalem. But great King Herod is also known as one of the most violent kings of all time. He had no problem murdering those who stood in his way as he clung to power. The historians vary a little on this, but it seems he had his first wife and two or three of his own sons murdered when he surmised that they were plotting against him. this king heard about the birth of Jesus as the Magi, those mysterious visitors from the east, approached Jerusalem, looking for the one born to be king of the Jews. They sought information, and Herod heard about all of this going on. It did not sit well with King Herod. His first reaction was fear. What a threat this Jesus was to the power which he held over the people. When the Magi realized that Herod's intentions were not as he had falsely declared to them, he had said, you know, come and tell me when you find him so that I too can come and worship him. When they realized this was not so, and after they had presented their gifts, they returned to their own country by another way. And at that point, Joseph rounded up his little family and took them away, refugees they were, into Egypt. Herod's fury knew no bounds. He ordered that all the boy children in and around Bethlehem should be killed. He could stand no possible rival. So today, the name Holy Innocents, these dear children that were put to death by Herod in his fury. We call them the very first martyrs of the Christian church. It's a jarring and horrible story. It took place long ago. It is also the world of today, a world in which innocent little children pay the horrible price of the violence by which we try to solve differences between peoples and nations. Now, in St. Matthew's day, St. Matthew's hearers would have made lots of connections from this story to the ancient stories of their faith. Remember Joseph, sold by his brothers into slavery, and he gets taken into Egypt? There's a first Joseph going into Egypt. And then years later, there's Moses, who survived another slaughter of the innocents, the Pharaoh who ordered the killing of the little boy children of the Hebrews in order to reduce their population and their morale among them. All of these connections would have been readily made by our shepherds in the window and by those first hearing St. Matthew's story. I wonder what you see when you look and ponder this birth. This little child, this little sign of God, this little vulnerable baby born in the same way you and I were born. Herod saw a threat to his own power, to the way in which he ruled, for his was a power over others. It was violence, it was brute force. It is still the way of much of the world today. Children and women and men all suffer at the hands of those who use power to their own ends. Contrast that with Jesus' way. His power was in identifying with the marginalized and the poor, the outcast and the sinner. Jesus spoke of God's kingdom within and among us. And he showed the healing power of God to restore life at every turn. His power was never power over others. As Mary herself prophesied, even before she was pregnant, remember how she said the humble would be exalted and the mighty and the great brought low. Herod was not successful in killing Jesus as a baby. But the powers of this world didn't end trying, as the second window here, of course, depicts. Jesus, an innocent man many years later, was condemned to death. Surely God's ways, as we understand them in the birth of this child, will always challenge the ways of this world. The gift of Jesus to us is the gift of peace, the gift of reconciliation, the gift of love, given for the life of the world. For God so loved the world. Amen.
God of love, the darkness that covered the earth has given way to the bright dawn of your word made flesh. Make us a people of this light. Make us faithful to your word, that we may bring your life to the waiting world. As we rejoice at the birth of Jesus, our Savior, we turn with confidence to God, praying that the peace and light which Christ brings will be welcomed into the world. As you came to us in love as the Christ child in Bethlehem, so we come with you, to you with love and concern for the world. On this feast of the Holy Innocents, we use the occasion as a solemn reminder of lost potential, injustice, and the sanctity of life. We uphold the value of every child's life, and we pray for vulnerable populations and call for an end to violence. And so we pray. We pray for the church, that the people of God will always be a light to the world for those who live in darkness. For peace on earth, that the peace which Christ offers will be a reality for all peoples. We remember especially our sisters and brothers in the land of the Holy One. We pray for peace and justice throughout that region. We pray for the people of Ukraine. We pray for all nations and races. And so we pray. We pray for the church, remembering Shane, our primate, Anne, our metropolitan, and all who minister at St. John's. We pray for the guidance of the Holy Spirit as we prepare to elect a new bishop. For those discerning a call to let their name stand for election, for the candidates, for members of synod, and our diocesan administrator, Bishop Michael Byrd. And so we pray. For our community, that our celebration of the birth of our Savior will make us more aware of our unity in Jesus Christ. For the lonely, the bereaved, the sick, and all those who are suffering in any way, that the light of Christ will shine on them. And so we pray. This Christmas, we pray for our beloved departed, asking God to hold them in his eternal light and peace, while granting us strength, comfort, and hope to carry their love forward, remembering their joy and the love that transcends time, filling the empty spaces with cherished memories and presence, even as we feel their absence. And so we pray. Jesus, by being born one of us and lying humbly in a manger, you show how much God loves the world. Let the light of your love always shine in our hearts until we reach our home in heaven and see you on the throne of glory. Close the door of hate and open the door of love all over the world. Let kindness come with every gift and good desires with every greeting. Deliver us from evil by the blessing which Christ brings. And teach us to be merry with clear hearts. Amen.
As our Savior taught us, let us pray.
Amen.
Glory to God, who is power working in us, can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the Church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen.
Et que la paix de Dieu qui surpasse toute intelligence garde vos cœurs et vos esprits dans la connaissance et l'amour de Dieu et de son Fils Jésus-Christ, notre Sauveur. Et la bénédiction du Dieu Tout-Puissant, Père, Fils et Saint-Esprit, descende sur vous et y demeure à jamais. Amen.
We go with joy singing hymn number 1. us go in peace to love and praise the Lord. Alleluia. Thanks be to God. Alleluia.